Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter, or analyst, baseball analyst, whatever. We're off today. Sorry about that, Steve, but how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm all right. Whatever. I'm good.
Okay. Good to hear.
I'm good, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So when you were managing the Mets, when you were the GM of the Mets, you would have been in Montreal a lot, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When we, they were in our division at the time, right. So absolutely. In fact, it was the one place that I actually had to have an alias on the road, and I had to have security take me from the team bus into the hotel. Couldn't go on the field for batting practice, and because there was a sort of a crazy guy that wasn't quite mentally stable that had made threats against me, that a psychologist called and said I should be careful, and he had made threats, so they had to warn me. So I had an alias on the road. Sam Adams, by the way, was my alias.
Really?
I thought it was a pretty good one.
That's not bad at all.
Thank you.
So take us through that. Did he get to you personally, or did it go through the team?
So yeah, interesting. So I had a number of these sort of crazy folks. It's amazing, right?
Like, yeah,
kidding. I'm so non-controversial. I'm just a white-haired guy that, we got a phone call that the psychiatrist called and said that her patient was a threat to my life, this fella in New Jersey somewhere, and that, she was able to violate the confidentiality because it was a physical threat, personal threat. So they alerted me of that, and I alerted Major League Baseball security. They then followed the guy for a couple of weeks, and they came back to report to me that, look, we don't think he'd probably hurt you. We think that he might hurt himself in front of you, but, we should take precautions, so don't take the same road home every day. Make sure you're checking to see you're not being followed. And when you go to Philadelphia and Montreal, you should probably take extra precautions. So I had Major League Baseball security take me off of the team bus to the lobby of the hotel. They would go to my hotel room after the games and check it to make sure that he wasn't in my room waiting for me. And I couldn't go on the field for batting practice. And they thought maybe I should use an alias just for protection. But yeah, I couldn't go out of the room during the day. It was it was a little challenging. And look, I had a guy call up and say he wished I'd die a slow, painful death and that my family gets in an accident because we didn't get Alex Rodriguez back in the day. And had another fellow that kept coming by the stadium. He said, "Where's Phillips? He's giving all this money to players. I want some money." And so the first day he was okay and was, wasn't belligerent. He gave his name and no big deal. They took his ID and took a picture and everything. Then the next time he came, he started getting threatening. The third time he came, he was living out of a bag, and they tried to grab him because of the threats he was making. And he takes off running, but he leaves behind the bag, and the bag had a Bible in it. And security guys get a little, they get a little freaked out when there's a Bible. They start looking to see if there's notes or like maybe he's hearing voices and that. But they got a restraining order against that guy, and they end up putting him in a psychiatric hospital. And so, you want to be a general manager? Wow.
No, that doesn't sound very enticing. And, from a selfish perspective, I guess the one thing that stood out to me is you didn't get to enjoy the nightlife of Montreal.
No, right. Oh, no, no.
That's disappointing,
I was locked
Steve.
Down. So lockdown.
What about your players?
Grab a wig and a mustache.
Off to shape.
So interestingly, the players always seem to have team meetings when we were in Montreal. For whatever reason, that was when they wanted everybody to get together in a team meeting at some place called Chez Paris. Yes. I don't know. It sounded like a meeting place, is what I understood.
It's like a convention center, I think.
I think so, yeah. I think
that's
connected
a playground.
To the convention center. Yeah.
That's what I was getting to here. Like Montreal, I would think for a team on the road back in the heyday, that had to be a spot where you must have been a little bit concerned, like, are my players going to show up on time tomorrow?
You know when you see like kids walking down the street and they're all holding onto a rope because you don't want to lose any of them if they're on a little field trip or something? I felt like we needed to sort of have that when we went there, that we had to do a head count every time we got to the ballpark the next day. But for the most part, guys showed up.
Right, which is important. They are professionals. With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays reporter. I keep saying that. Jays analyst.
Yeah.
Here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So it sounds like the Jays, we know what their roster is going to look like. They obviously were dealt with a ton of injuries throughout the spring, a lot of them to the arms. Baraki's going to miss at least a couple of starts, and a couple of bullpen arms aren't going to be available to them. Personally, I don't think it makes that big of a difference, though, Steve. I've been saying this for weeks. When I look at this roster, whether it's the rotation, the bullpen, the bats, I don't see 70 wins. I can't find 70 wins. Can you change my mind?
No, I don't think I can. I'm with you. I've got them in the 60s myself. Now, we're going to come out with a predictions piece tomorrow for .ca, and Scott Mitchell and I are. And, you know, we're fairly close to each other in our prediction about how many wins the Jays will get, although I'm in the 60s and he's not. I just look at it, too, and I think, all right, you know, you've got the starters with Stroman and Sanchez, who could both be pretty good. The problem is if they're good, then the health of the bullpen becomes a factor that you may end up blowing leads because you don't have a healthy bullpen. And then comes July 31st, where if Stroman and Sanchez are healthy, they likely get traded. And that means the final 2 months of the season, you don't have your two, you know, more veteran starting pitchers. You may trade some of the veteran relievers, then you're real young after that. And so, you know, I just look at it and think you're playing 57 games against the Rays and Red Sox. You know, a third season. So that's a pretty good chunk of it there. You're going to play the Indians, you're going to play the Astros, and then you're going to, you hope to be 500 maybe against teams like the Tigers and White Sox and Royals, who are rebuilding just like the Blue Jays are. And so, yeah, I stretched it into the higher 60s, but I'm short of 70 myself. And here's the thing. It's, you know, what is deemed a successful season? Right, is a legitimate question. So normally you think, all right, well, the most wins you get is success. Wins and losses is an easy way to gauge it. Revenues generated. But here's a team that you know going in isn't going to win a lot of games, and their revenues are going to go down because people aren't going to go and watch them as much because they're not as competitive a team. So what is success? And success for them this year is answering questions, figuring out who's part of the problem, who's part of the solution, and who can be part of building that winning team that you hope to bring together a couple years down the road.
How would you handicap the chances of Toronto Blue Jay fans seeing Bo Bichette play in the majors this season?
You know, I think it's remote for the Blue Jays. I personally would keep an open mind about it. You know, you're already pushing back Vladimir Guerrero Jr. until May. If he has any other setback at all, it could be into June. While he's rehabbing, you've got Bo Bichette developing, and why not link those two together? Now, I could also see a scenario where if Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you know, starts to play in games again, and let's say that he gets another oblique strain, it takes him into June, then, you know what, he maybe gets a little hamstring, you got to make sure he's ready, and it's the All-Star break. At some point, that line where you think, all right, if we're going to be a 68 this year, why call it year? Let's buy the extra year on the back end as well. Now, everybody's going to get up in arms about it, but it would cross my mind about whether to bring them up at all, either one of them, if it's going to be a 68-win season and I can't get 100 to 115 games out of the two guys.
What do you make of this players poll where the most overrated voted by the players is Bryce Harper, and right behind that is Marcus Stroman?
Now it's interesting. I bet Marcus thinks, all right, I'm second. That's pretty good to Bryce Harper. That's not bad. The dude just got $330 million. You know, Derek Jeter is always one of the most overrated players. And so I never know what to make out of it. What that means to everybody is a little bit different. And I think for Marcus, I think that he, because he talks a lot, because he has a lot to say, you know, typically guys who are high-end performers, you can talk a lot. When you're not performing, you can't. And if you keep talking, people think, well, what's he talking so much for? He's not getting anything done on the field. And I think there's some connection in that the lesser performance and making too much noise. Like, I mean, they're not saying it about Aaron Sanchez, but it's because he's quiet and just goes about his business. Marcus talks more like a guy that wants attention, should get attention, rather than sort of letting his talking get field.
Steve, what do you make about the DeGrom contract? It was just, I think, yesterday where Noah Syndergaard came out bitching and complaining that they got to get this guy signed. Is that any kind of reaction from the Mets, or is that something that's been in the works and it just hasn't been talked about?
No, you know what that's like? That's like when a manager calls a team meeting the day before playing the last place team. So what you do is you have that team meeting against the team you know you're going to pummel anyways, and it looks like, boy, what a great team meeting. Well done by the manager. It was just good timing by Syndergaard. He may have actually even known at the time that it might be close. And you know, DeGrom came out and said the other day that you know, he wasn't optimistic. That was calculated for me, that anytime you make a public statement in a negotiation, it was the last little nudge that he said to sort of get them moving. And I think the Sale deal getting done gave them a threshold because there's some linkage to the Sale deal and DeGrom's deal. They both have opt-outs after the 2022 season. DeGrom's that makes $107 million through 2022, where Sale makes $105 million. So it seems to me there was some slotting going on there that was probably affecting the timing more than anything else.
But quickly, as a manager, you're not going and looking at the comment section saying, oh, man, everyone's just outraged. I got to get this done, are you?
No, never, never. I never. You cannot let fans or players or coaching staff or anybody force you into a personnel decision, because you will make bad decisions and you will get fired for it. So you've got to do what you think is right, even when it's against, even when you're going to get death threats and stalkers, effectively, because you think it's going to lead to potentially getting to the playoffs. So you're right. There is a lot of noise out there, but you got to block it out.
Well, we're glad you survived everything, Steve.
Yeah.
It's great having you on, buddy, and thanks. The season right around the corner. So,
well, you never know. I mean, I'm in the New York area. And there's a lot of Mets fans that still hold grudges. So, I always look over my shoulder just to be safe.
Yeah, just be careful. All right, buddy.
All right, guys. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you. There's Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst.